Previously on The Mortal Path.
You looking for work?
I mean, yeah.
Like, right, I know that Miss Nerium has two jobs, and I'm assuming it's not the job that I'm assuming it's the job that you'd be looking for work. No, the other, you know. Turns out it's some old Tundraska relic or something. He's looking to have that necklace, but he wants to keep it all on the down low, so he wants to do a swap.
And then I'm going to walk over, stand over Eusebius, and just look down for about a minute, breathe a few times, and then turn back to Vesper and say, let's go.
And he smiles down and he goes, then I didn't think I'd see you again so soon. In the king's balcony of this wonderful theatre in the upper circle of Hopewell. It is the matinee performance of this really, really wonderful opera. You are dressed to the nines. There are all these fancy folks swanning around in the lower balconies and down in the actual gallery bit, seating gallery bit. The curtains are drawn across stage, but you can hear the gentle sounds of the orchestra tuning in the orchestra pit down at the sort of hidden mostly underneath the stage. Although from your vantage point, you can kind of see the conductor a little bit, which is nice. It's going to add a little something to the experience. And Machina has come into the box and he is half in this outfit that's clearly for the play, and then half also in his equivalent of tracksuit bottoms type thing. A mix of the fantastical and the incredibly normal. And he perches on the seat next to you, and I believe he's just asked you, I haven't seen you in a while. I was starting to wonder if you were going to come at all.
Hello.
Okay, good. he gives a little laugh. He goes, hello. And then as he's starting to say something, there is not a commotion, but a rustling from behind, because this box has heavy curtains to keep it from the walkways behind it. And one of the handlers, and you'd seen her before, she was in the museum, this very tough looking woman, I really have a type every time. I'm just what'd she look like? Tough.
She's kind of buff. Sorry.
Yeah, she's buff and she's tall, and so the curtain kind of moves and she strides in and she hands something to Machina, and she just kind of gives him a look that seems almost maybe out of place for the power level. She seems in that moment she is really quite in charge, and he gives her this very strange polite smile and nods, and she gives you a death glare and then moves away again. And he opens the letter and kind of half turns away from you to read it, but you get a glimpse of at least sort of the beginning and of the end as he hurriedly unrolls it and quickly scans it and holds it back up. And the beginning starts with just Machina, with no to or dear or anything. I am hastily awaiting your return. Do not forget. And then as he turns it over, you can't really see the rest. And then at the end, you do see it is signed E. Zugai.
Of course it is.
And he folds it up really quickly.
Who else is he going to be?
And shoves it in a pocket.
It's all coming together.
So what's that about then?
You might remember when we were last talking, I said that I have to travel all over, and of course I adore what I do, and it's wonderful, but, well, sometimes one has to answer to a beck and call. Perhaps one does not always want to. And as he says that, he glances around, and then he leans in and he gets real close, and he says, Marlo told me where I could find you. She said that you would help for a price. You've done it before.
Oh.
And he gives you this really intense look.
a flash of recognition comes across my face that you can't see because I'm wearing a mask.
That's good. That's true. Okay.
But for the intrepid viewer with, I don't know, in the VR re-release of this campaign, can go inside my face and see.
Go inside your face?
They have to clip through the mask model to be able to see my face for the extra acting it takes.
It's like that VR clip when someone's playing a card game against an Anno woman and he just like climbs under the table and like puts his head through the table and he can see the cards face out.
Who would not pay for such bonus concert?
It's incredible.
The VR chat edition of this.
Yeah.
What's happening?
He got real close and he said, like, Marlo said you'd be able to help me. Like,
Marlo, huh? What did Marlo tell you about me?
Well, she said that you were one of the best when it came to taking out troublesome people that one might not want to be around anymore.
How did she know I was here? And now?
No, actually, I contacted her a while ago. And I'm not whispering because that's terrible audio, but like, Makino is whispering.
I'm also whispering.
Yeah, cool.
I'm subtle.
No, I asked her for help with a contract. She showed me a vision of sorts of you. And so when I saw you in the museum, I was looking for an opportunity in which we could speak.
That's very convenient. Okay. Sure. What do you want?
Where are you staying?
That's none of your concern.
I could meet you there.
No, if we're going to meet somewhere, we meet at a neutral location.
Where is that? I can probably get away, but it wouldn't be easy.
Again, what do you actually want? What is your end game here?
I want you to end a contract, either by means of killing the person on the other end, or some other way if you can think of one, but all I can think of is, well, that.
Okay, so who do you want killed? I'm going to stop doing the stupid voice. I'll just do my normal voice. It was a bit of a dupe. Don't worry about it. So, what is the... Who do you want killed?
He kind of, like, blinks, but he looks like, okay, takes that in his stride. He leans in, like, again, real close, and he goes,
Eldon Zugai.
Oh, he's still around?
Yes, unfortunately so, and seemingly unable to die.
Unable to die, huh?
It's why I said I needed a specialist, someone who could deal with things beyond just the norm, and that's why Marlo said that you would be the best bet if I could find you. You'd been missing for a long time. And so when I walked into the museum and you were there, it must have been fate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I guess that's what fate is. Is it fate if you just tell the future, or is that something else?
Well, it's certainly not a skill I have. I have to go, but will you help? Where will we meet?
What am I getting paid? Hang on, what do I get out of this?
I have to go. Can we not discuss this later?
Fine. Where's I don't know. I don't live here. Do you live here? Where's a good spot?
He gives you like an incredibly like frustrated, despairing look, which is the most human you've actually seen him look throughout the entire like short period that you've known him, where he's mostly been suave and kind of cool. Now he just looks like vaguely frazzled. But he gives you an address of like a very nice kind of hotel that is in the not too far from the theater, and gives you a room number as well.
Gotcha. I'll swing by later, I guess. Hang on a second. There's an important question I need to answer before you go. Do you have that the medal thing?
What?
From the museum. In the jar.
What medal thing from the museum?
What?
What medal? What medal?
Medal. Do you have the necklace thing from the museum that we looked at, which I've been calling a medal? But don't worry about that. It's what they call it back home. What?
Your reputation precedes you, Mr. Darrow.
I'm very competent, apparently, according to a soothsayer. A witch said I was competent.
Mikasa thinks he's talking to Vespa, but he's got Darrow, and that's his, like, undoing. That's the tragedy of this.
He fucked up.
Yeah. He thinks he has Ludicrous Bulge Slayer and Vesper, like, to hand, but no, he has... Is it a metal tarot?
Is this a tragedy or is this a comedy? I'm not sure.
We've reached that perfect Greek ideal of the comedic tragedy, I think. We've done it. We've reached
I that. Can't believe we solved drama. We did it.
We did. We solved drama. This is it. You will not get better drama.
This is the peak. So, this is what all the Greeks are working for.
Anyway, Machina gives you this like really frazzled look and he goes, "The necklace for the opera? Yes, of course. It's part of the opera."
Yeah, where is it?
In the dressing room. Bye.
Cool.
Okay, then I have to go, but it was so lovely to see you again.
Oh my god.
And like,
oh,
he stands up and like,
"Very good to see you. Goodbye."
He does like a very kind of like flouncy like kiss to both cheeks and like gives you a little wink and walks out. "Until later." And like, he leaves with all of his suave coolness back, but clearly also like genuinely a bit frazzled. Like, that did not go how I thought it was gonna go, but okay, all right.
Oh, I hate it when I gotta steal from someone and they offer me a job and then I have to pretend I'm interested in the job until I can steal from them and run away.
Hashtag relatable.
Oh, bless. Okay. So, everyone knows that feeling. So, what are you doing? So the opera is starting to get ready. It's gonna start soon. So what's your plan here?
Guess I'll watch the opera. Or maybe I should figure out where the dressing room is. That's probably a good plan.
Okay, how are you gonna do that?
I'll think about it, and other people can play the game.
Okay, that's very good of you. So, we will go to Nat. Nat, what are you doing?
You went for a sleep, didn't you?
I did go for a sleep, because I was not making... You're not you when you're tired.
Yes, that's
and
true.
I was making some poor decisions, to say the least. I think I am using the inks to inscribe various spells into my spell book.
Okay. Do you want to talk us through what spells you're doing?
So the way I'm thinking about it, there've been three pages of the spell book which were kind of whirling with mists, and there's patterns
mm-hmm.
that I can just about see, but they don't quite stay static for long enough to read. And so what I'm doing with the inks, I'm using a pen, and when I see a pattern, I'm sort of etching it in with the ink and sort of rooting it in place.
Ooh, I love that.
And it's only once I've filled in the whole page and seen the spell that I understand that I need to go to Roll 20. No, D&D Beyond to figure out, because it's been so long. No,
get
that's D&D Dice. You can get great dice from D&D Dice.
Oh, no. Promo Thanks, code Harry. No.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. No. Okay. Cut that.
Okay, bold move.
I take out Sten Panch's notebook.
Ah!
Who's Sten Panch?
He was the wizard in Tenbrun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the wizard.
The dead wizard.
Did we ever meet him, or did we just get his notebook?
You met his ghost.
Oh, okay.
So I take out Sten Panch's notebook, and I am transcribing into my Book of Shadows a spell that I think is a more powerful version of the stone bending that I previously have exhibited. and this spell allows me to meld into stone myself.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, that's such a cool one.
I think it takes a while to perform. It's what some might call a ritual spell.
Okay, yep. Need some prep.
Yeah. Some crap, nope.
Some crap.
I just said some crap.
I need some crap, man.
Well, that's one of the key ingredients, actually, in the spell.
Okay, good to know.
You need a crap, and you need to when you
Thank
need to ignite
God
it.
We know
Is that just a recipe?
A recipe for one stone Natalia. And
is cooking a ritual?
Yes.
Is cooking a ritual?
Yeah, they're not components, they're ingredients. There's another spell in there. Which allows me a limited look at the future.
Oh. Okay.
Which I'll probably need to look up in the D&D books and then transpose into something.
Yeah.
Modern, friendly.
So, you spend your time doing that. As you are doing so, you do definitely you feel Jesus in this chili tonight. You feel your human spirit deities.
Two hands in, rummage around.
What? That's not even the quote. What the fuck?
It's from The Office, I think. I don't know. It's a really famous meme.
It's I feel love in this chili tonight, but you can make it Jesus if you want. To.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
No.
It's one of my favorite vines. So, yeah. So you feel the presence of definitely the red one of your deities. You do feel the blue one as well, but again, just not quite as strong. The red one is definitely the one that is winning out, so to speak.
Do they want to chat, or is it just that I can?
They're just vibing.
Are you going to try and reach out?
Sure, I'll reach out.
Okay, roll me a dice.
Across the aisle.
What are you using?
I'm using this D20 that I bought a few years.
Okay.
I guess it's guile.
Okay.
Yeah, so minus two. 14.
14, which is a success. So you feel yourself, as you are writing out these spells, you feel yourself like slipping into this like meditative state, following like the scratch of the quill, the flowing of the ink, and the ink itself in the bottle and in the quill is black, but as you're writing on the book, it kind of fades to this like deep red, not quite like a blood red, but like a ruby red, as you are writing, and you can feel that kind of growing influence. And for a moment, your eyes kind of like close as you almost nod off, and when you open them again, you are sitting again in the sort of magma off the Firemouth volcano, and you recognize it because instead of having like the walls of the volcano, they are all like very small jackal creatures, not nearly as big as the one that you fought, but they are like forming the walls and crawling over each other, seemingly unaffected by the lava. But you are sitting in the center of this, sitting perfectly comfortably on the lava, not sinking into it, it's nice and warm, and your two deities. The red one, very strong, and the blue one, very faint. Blue one's almost like a shadow, are both, like, sitting there, smiling at you.
Hello.
Hello. Long time no see.
Yes, it has been quite a long time. About 24 years, I believe.
Yes, we are sorry about that. As a whole, as a group, of course. It wasn't our intention.
I don't suppose there's any way of going back.
There's always a way, but the consequences of such a thing, both on us, on you, and on the entire system, would be unimaginable, but potentially very interesting.
Okay. When we arrived, there was a cave, and when I looked at it, there were words over our heads. As if we were in some kind of MMORPG.
Is this an isekai?
There were words over our heads. Carrier, fuel, pilot? What do they mean?
Well, we were thinking you seem to quite enjoy the jaunt to Tembran Exton. And there are plenty other places one could go, if one wished so. Us two thought it might be fun to leave the door open, so to speak. But you must understand, to travel in such a way would take all three of you working together. And quite a sizable amount of power.
Enjoy is a strong word, and if the repercussions in terms of miscalculation are anything like we've experienced so far, I'm not sure we'd risk it. Who knows, we might be another 24, might be another 240 years in the future.
I don't think that would happen. The reason being, we all... panicked isn't the right word, but we all moved at once without consideration or forethought, and unfortunately that is what made quite such a ripple with the endless nights on Tembran, but also with bringing you further forward in time than we meant to. Again, we can only apologize, but with correct planning and with total unity, it shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Total unity?
You must all be agreed.
Right, so us, not you. The four or eight of you.
Eight of us, yes. No, we moved initially because things over in, that small part of Alfalan got out of hand rather quickly, and we were all so excited to have just found you, we again all moved as, one, you have to understand, we've been together a very, very long time, and sometimes we have the same thoughts and ideas, and then don't move in the most delicate manners. So we got you out of there, a little too much so.
So both times, both jumps you've made, they've gone wrong.
They've gone further.
Okay, I'm going to shelve that idea of using it just for jaunts.
Think of how much stronger you grew, though, in Exton. You started a war, and you ended one.
Couldn't I have just grown stronger in Alfalan?
Perhaps so, and you will. But new experiences make for new abilities. You have the whole system at your fingertips, and we don't think you are the sort of person to just ignore that. But take your time, of course. It's a thing to be worked up to.
Blue, are you okay?
Yes, and because they're speaking in unison, there's not really a differentiate between their voices. So they're both speaking the same words at the same time and have kind of the same expressions as well. And Blue kind of nods, which is the only movement that she's really made that's not kind of in sync with the red. She smiles. They both say, yes.
So, I'm not damaging you by, I guess, the things I choose to do.
By your standards, yes, you are, but not by ours. This was the pact we made.
What do you want us to do?
Anything. Everything. Your influence on this world and others is, again, not one we can put into words. You will change everything. You've already changed so much. And in time, you will make changes far beyond what we can even imagine. And our time will end, and yours will truly begin.
Ours will begin? Do you mean, will I become like you?
That is your choice. Whatever you become will be what you have made of yourself.
Thank you. Any advice?
Be glorious.
Oh, okay.
And then they kind of fade and you blink awake and you are on the floor of Melvin's little bedroom holding your book in your hands.
Nice.
And then you take a nap, I assume.
Another fucking... Actually, what I'm going to do is... Going to go downstairs, going to ask Findex for a tray of crepes. Or no, okay, a bag of crepes.
Okay.
I'm going to go over to the cave.
Okay, yeah.
Like, make the trek out there. And I'm going to start practicing the stone melting ritual. Burning the crepe okay. Each time.
Okay, cool. Great. I need you to make me a roll for this, please. This is great.
Did you remember to feed the cat before you left?
Yes, I've got a keen mind. What am I adding to this, if anything?
What are you adding to this?
Crepes.
Not a stat, but should be.
I mean, I think books, because the way it's done, but...
I think books, yeah.
Is there a negative, because this is the first time I'm trying it, or...
What's your usual books? Is it plus two?
My books is a plus two.
I think probably for the first time it's a zero. I think it's not a negative because you've done melting, because you've moved stone before. I think if you'd never done anything with stone, it would be a negative. Because you've done a bit of stone moving, there's nothing that you would add to your dice roll.
Okay, that's a six, a fail.
Oh, okay. ooh, interesting.
What I'm trying to do, oh God, is meld myself into stone.
Yeah.
Oops.
What could possibly go wrong?
Okay, so I think what happens here is that you don't meld yourself into stone. I think that you're kind of a little bit, you know, excited. You're a little bit keyed up. You've got your fire going because you're burning the craps for this ritual. And you're like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool. And much like how the gods previously were talking about, like, not wrong, just further. You don't meld into stone. You kind of like pass through the stone. But you end up in this like almost like a tiny porous chamber that is just like a natural little chamber in the middle of the rock with no craps to hand to do the spell to get back out. And you are kind of in like a couple of feet and then like a little bit taller than your height, and you are just suddenly like, you're in stone. You have not melded into stone. You have managed to put yourself in the walls of the cave.
Man, that's dead.
Okay.
You have some air.
But, you know, it's really good luck for a foundation of a house, apparently, in some cultures.
Hey, this is just like what happened to that other person. Eusebius, that's it.
That's right!
Yeah!
Wait, what happened to her in the end? I forget.
I'm sure it worked out fine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't worry.
Cool. I'll contemplate that.
Okay, great. So, Miriam.
Yes!
What are you doing?
Well, this particular member of the Good Choices Brigade...
yeah, I'm going to have to put a trigger warning on this episode for, like, claustrophobia and also specifically Junji Ito's That's My Hole. So, like, I was aware to not go too into it for you, Kitty, so I was like, don't describe it too much. We know what's going on. I will content warn
thank
this
you.
One.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was going to say afterwards, yes. I... unbeknownst of all of this, I believe I was headed to Philomira Brook.
Okay. Brave. Yeah. Wow, lots of brave choices happening today. I love this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you make your way to Lady Brooke's house. The footwoman is at the door, looks at you, gives you a tired look, like, really? Again? Today?
Yeah. Hello.
And what is it I can do for you?
Mary Burrows here to see Lady Philomira Brooke at her convenience.
I will let Lady Brooke know.
And they turn around and go back inside. And after a little bit longer than is definitely polite, the servant comes back and gestures and says, "Follow me."
Thank you. Yes.
And you are led back into the drawing room where Lady Philomira Brooke is sitting on her usual chair. Prim, proper, beautiful, stern, icy cold. Mm. She gives you a look as you walk in, like a proper look.
Lady Brooke, thank you so much for seeing me on such short notice. I understand you may have met one of my colleagues earlier today.
Yes, one that you neglected to mention at all.
I did. I am sorry about that. I understand it didn't go terribly well. She's been a bit under the weather recently, and I don't think she made the best impression.
No, I have to say, she made quite an abhorrent one. First, I catch her snooping in the library under my name, or at least under my connection, and then, upon introduction, I take her back here, only to find out that apparently the three of you have killed potentially our only witness to the crime and his sister.
That's correct, yes. However, I think one thing that was also discussed between the two of you was the possibility of a truth spell and someone willing to testify. So I thought it would be beneficial if I let you know as soon as possible that I was present for the confessions of both Avalia and, you know, his sister, who I've known all my life. Avriel, thank you. I was present for the confessions of both Avalia and Avriel, and would be perfectly willing to, under oath, answer any questions relevant to the case.
She gives you a look that's like, are you serious? And she goes, so you're willing to take a truth spell?
Yes.
That you heard the confession of a known criminal and his even more dastardly sister.
Yes.
Who cannot be present here today for reasons you will not discuss.
Well, because they're dead.
And are you going to tell them that? Because I think you might find yourself in quite a bit of trouble.
Well, I mean, their being alive or dead isn't actually pertinent to Pellet's case. That's why I'm answering the questions for them.
That's not how a witness works.
Could be.
She just gives you this look, like, please.
It's two different cases.
Hopefully it's never going to be two different cases, because I don't want to have the hassle of this case being muddied by another murder trial in the middle of it, because you decided that you were going to...
I mean, I will admit that it certainly wasn't something that we planned to do. However, as I'm sure you can understand, sometimes events get away from people, particularly when you're dealing with two murderers.
In order to reopen the case, there needs to be either first-hand witnesses or new evidence, or a serious dispute as to the evidence already provided, which is why I asked if your friend would be able to reliably identify the card there.
Well, the difficulty with that, you see, is if she were to reliably identify that card, she would also be reliably identifying herself. And I think it's safer for me to go to prison for the murder of an existing criminal than it is for her to reveal herself to the dozen.
I somehow don't think you plan to stay in prison very long should you end up there.
Again, not particularly pertinent to the matter at hand.
It could well be, because if they decide that this has all gone rather too conveniently for Peleth, they might take her away again. You have to understand this is a setup.
We have done all that we can, and I appreciate, Lady Brooke, that you have also. However, I feel like we are maybe being somewhat trammelled by a desire for things to resolve themselves more neatly than is likely to be possible. We may not be able to do this completely above board and Bristol fashion. We might, not that Bristol is a place that exists, we might need to be a little bit more flexible in how we do this.
So what do you propose?
I've given you my proposal. You could mull it over. If you come up with anything that might make it more acceptable to you, then you let me know.
You realise I will have absolutely no guarantees that they won't ask you further questions, and that if you are put under a spell of that nature, you will be inclined to answer truthfully, whether you wish to or not.
I think I am perfectly happy to answer truthfully any questions relevant to the case, and any questions which are not relevant to the case, I will simply say I do not believe that is relevant to the case. After that, chips fall where they may, but I want to get Peleth out of prison. Every time I try and say I want to get Peleth off, I've done that too many times. I would like to get Peleth out of prison, and I feel that it's time that this issue was resolved.
I can arrange a meeting between you and one of the lawyers who may be able to convince the judge to reopen the case under these special circumstances, but that is all I am willing to put my neck out for after your fuck-ups.
Such language, Lady Brooke. Oh, it's weirdly arousing. I say thank you, Lady Brooke. I am very grateful to you for your assistance in this matter. I appreciate that it must have been very stressful for you to deal with all of this. And I know Peleth is grateful to you as well. So, you know, you just drop me a line when that lawyer's ready.
Yes, and you had better get yourself a nicer dress. Now, good day.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Okay, you are
I thought
escorted.
I looked quite good in my armour, actually, but fine.
So you are escorted from the
leave
house again.
Absolutely without flouncing, but it takes some effort.
Okay, good. Excellent. Noted. So you leave. You are on the streets of the upper circle of Hope Hub. We're going to skip back over to Taro, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go home at that point.
Okay.
I have a plan.
Excellent.
Oh, no.
What's up? That's two different reactions. I like how the DM's like, yes.
I'm going to wait till the performance starts and Deus Ex Machina is on stage. Then
okay,
I'm going to
good.
Put my plan into action.
Okay, all right, yep. So he is on the stage. He is in the middle of a glorious aria. Boy, this guy can sing. Like, you know why he is one of the most acclaimed performers of his type. He is genuinely breathtakingly incredible. Real talent.
Excellent. Good for him.
Wish I was Aria.
I'm going to reveal the secret of my costume, which is that the jacket is reversible.
Okay.
Gary, you just ruined Taro's reveal.
Sorry. It's a secret I thought of just now, and it's going to be very convenient.
You guys have been playing Blades in the Dark.
Yeah. It's on the outside, in the inside, I guess, it's more of a kind of demure brown colour, I think. It's a working person's jacket.
Okay.
Or has the appearance of a working person's jacket in this world. What country are we in? What country are we in?
Beleriand, aren't we? Beleriand.
You're on...
Beryland sounds
You're in
nice.
Beryland. Yeah.
Okay. And I am going to remove my mask, adopt a sort of gait, a bit of a kind of slouchy gait, put my hands in my pockets.
Oh my god, it's like
And I'm going to head towards backstage and look for a member of the crew. Or someone who looks crewish.
Yep. You come across a kind of middle-aged looking goblin woman, and she's kind of like on the ropes and pulleys to make parts of the background move.
She seems busy. Can I wait until she's not busy?
It's the middle of a performance and you are backstage.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, there's probably other people around who are in the crew who aren't actively doing something dangerous.
So, well, she's like pulling, so parts of like the bushes are moving and stuff, and like after a second or two where you're hesitating, she kind of like squints out onto the stage, and then she nods and she like puts her hands on her hips, and she's clearly like waiting for the next cue, but she's not currently moving anything.
I just gotta say, hello, I know you're busy and all, but could you just point me in the direction of someone who might know the layout of the dressing rooms, please?
Know the layout of the dressing rooms? What are you wanting?
I'm very sorry. To introduce myself, I'm Tataro Teclane. I'm with the local guild.
Right, well, you'll be wanting to speak to the director, but he's there, so then you'll want the assistant production expert director just behind, just there. And she kind of like points, and you see this this half-orc who is dressed in like this very flouncy shirt, bit of like an Elizabethan ruff going on as well, hair in like a ponytail. And he has got like a copy of the script, and he's clearly like reading along, and every so often he kind of nods when like a particularly good line is delivered.
What's the man's name?
That's a very good question. We just call him assistant production director expert. I just call him sir, to be honest.
You don't know his name?
It's my first gig here.
Oh, that's all right. You get back to it. I'll stop bothering you.
Thank you. I'm concentrating. She goes back to like looking at the stage.
All right, I'm going to go to this other person. What was his job role?
Assistant. Gosh, wow. I really wish I hadn't made that one up on the fly. I had to say it three times now. He's the assistant production expert director. Is that right?
Director expert.
Excuse me, pal. Are you the assistant production direction and expert director?
Yes, that would be me. And what is it that I can do for you? Are you meant to be back here?
Yes, my name's Tataro Teclane. I'm with the local guild. We've had a bit of a... You know how it is. We had a report, you see, and it's nothing to be worried about. I just need to check it out. There's been a bit of a problem with the allocation of the dressing rooms to the actors and performers here.
Oh, for the love of, we have been over this in the reports. Everybody has enough space for their exercises and stretches.
I do understand, I've seen the reports, but you know how it is. A stagehand gets a bit, feels like they've been stiffed a little bit maybe, and they make a little anonymous report, and we have to send someone out to check. So if you've just got like a list of who's in what dressing rooms, I can just do a run round and just, I don't have to go in any of the rooms to have a look or anything. I can just have a look at the doors.
Follow me. Come on, quick. I'm very big. The middle of a performance.
Thank you, boss.
Your guild members are
utterly, and in Hopewell, you are just so on my arse every single bloody day. Come on.
And he, like, leads you over to, like, a little...
Well, tell me about my boss has all these, quotas, you know? It's all quotas these days.
He, like, waves his hand. Like, he leads you over to this little, like off the stage room, and he goes through and he pulls out a couple of files and documents. He pulls one out, and it's a like a printed layout of the dressing rooms with names written in them, and he goes, obviously you can't tell me who made the report, but you know, this does just seem to keep happening when we come to Hopewell, so if there is one dissenting member of this fine theatre community, why don't you tell them to have a word with me personally? I swear I am a very amicable man, but I cannot be expected to work in these circumstances here.
Thank you very much, boss. I'll be out of your hair now. Cheers very much.
Is that everything? You don't need me to sign any waivers or anything?
No, that'll be all. I'll be out of your hair now. Good luck with the rest of the performance.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And again, like I said, do let me know if I could nip this in the bud so I don't have this again in another bloody performance. Hopewell, really? And he, like, walks off.
I'll have a word. I'll get some messages sent.
He's clearly not even really listening to you as he leaves.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
I want to find Machina's dressing room.
Yeah, you got a map.
When I was watching the performance, did Machina have the necklace on?
At that particular moment, he didn't. One of the kind of, like, leading women from the... What was the name? Tundraska. That was the name of the city that you two made, which is where this play is based on. Yeah. So one of the old women in Tundraska had been, like, making it. This is kind of the story of the necklace. It's why it's, like, such a huge part of the play. So it was on stage, but not being worn by Mikasa. But as you return, you can see now that it is not on stage. Nobody seems to be wearing it.
Machina, not Mikasa.
Oh my god! You made this joke like once, like ages ago, and it's never left my head. Machina is not wearing it currently. He is on stage. There's a very moving performance. Somebody seems to be dying in a snowdrift. Not him. He's fine. He's like narrating it.
The necklace is not on the stage.
Necklace is not on the stage. Not on Machina, not on the stage.
Alright, time to teleport, I guess. Let me find a corner to jump from. Let's go.
Okay, I think... No, theatres are pretty... They're pretty quiet in the audience parts where audience members would hang out when there's not a play on. So I think if you're, like, near your box, you're relatively away from other people. But I think if you want to be super sure that nobody is watching, you're going to have to give me, like, a roll to try and do this very stealthily, and then a roll to actually, like... pull off the spell and get to where you want to be.
Can I just walk into the toilet or something and just...
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Let's I'm gonna do that.
Make your way into the very nice grand public toilets. Yep. Okay, make me a teleportation roll. Go into a stall, lock the door, make me that roll.
Okay, here we go.
Someone's waiting outside for the next 2 hours.
What have we rolled for this before?
I think it really depends on what you think Tarot is using to cast the spell in this moment. So is it like something that he's doing from his knowledge of what he's done before, which might be more books, or is it like much more of an instinctive, I've got to try and go with my gut here?
I think it's been instinctive in the past. This thing is basically like, it's a kind of initial thing of just being like, kick myself into the like, whatever we've been calling it, the ghost world. And then just, like, walk the path you know how to walk, get to the right place, and then pop back out again.
Yeah.
So I guess nimble?
Yeah, it could well be, yeah. I'm totally happy for a nimble. I think the difficulty of this, it's the furthest you've ever tried to go. It's also... Because when... And you're also kind of going into it without knowing... You're trying to get to a very specific place, whereas the first time you kind of did it, you just went outside, and you were outside. And then the second time...
I think on my, like, way back from the backstage, I probably would have, like, tried to walk the route just so I have it in my head.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that's good.
But still, yeah, it's still, like, the longest distance I think I've done. So, What do I roll? Plus two?
I think maybe just plus one for this.
Okay.
Because you're trying to go, like, really quite far at this point.
All right, cool. I hope this doesn't go wrong because I don't have a backup plan.
Join the club.
All right, here we go. Plus one roll. What are the windows, Gary? Let me just get the windows in my brain.
2 to 7 to fail. 8 to 13 is mixed success.
Here we go. Oh, it's an 18.
Oh, oh nice.
Hey.
Excellent. So this time, like almost now effortlessly, you kind of like sidestep, you do a little half turn and you are in the spirit world, the spirit plane. And for a second, it's almost like overwhelming to be here because you know there's layers beyond this that you have glimpsed at and been part of. And you almost have to like position yourself to be on this plane. And it's like it's a thing now. You know there is further that you could go into other dimensions. So there's a second where you're like, whoa, okay. You find your feet. You're also very aware that time passes differently here. And so as you are making your way through this like crowded kind of theater, it's all like weird, blurry souls, difficult to navigate, but you do make it into the room that you are sure is Machina's room. And as you kind of step back out of the spirit world, you're in a very nice, posh looking dressing room. There's like bowls of chocolates and fruits and stuff, and clearly Machina's clothes and a whole bunch of posters that he's pre-signed.
Is there a necklace?
There is a necklace. There is, as you kind of glance around, on a mannequin, a full glorious outfit that is just beautifully made, and sitting around the neck of it is the necklace, and it's, you can feel the magic from it from here.
Sweet. All right, real quick, swap my jacket back the right way, mask back on, grabbing the damn beads, and I'm gonna attempt a second jump.
You're not gonna replace them with a decoy?
No.
Okay, make me a roll.
Okay.
You didn't get the decoy from Jara.
Oh, I was assuming, of course, there was a decoy. The decoy.
Yeah, there was a decoy.
What decoy?
Oh my god!
Yeah, no, you didn't.
I didn't know there was a decoy.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it was a long time ago before you wrote off the quest.
Well, yeah, there totally was, though.
Well, I guess I ultimately lived to fail.
Don't worry, you're meeting up with Mikasa later, maybe.
No, not Mikasa.
Yeah, sure, definitely gonna happen.
Oh, fuck's sake, Machina! God's sake.
Machina!
Alright, let me roll something. What am I rolling? Same thing again?
I guess it'd be nimble again.
Yeah, let's do it. This time, I want to pull from my thing I thought about earlier, which was me mapping out the outside and the vague size and shape of the building,
mm-hmm.
in order to, like, be able to place... So I also have a map of the insides now, right?
Off the dressing room. Off, like, the backstage part. Not of the whole theatre.
Can I combine my understanding of the outside, my spatial knowledge, and the inside to be, like, have a guess at how far I need to jump in a straight line to get out of the building in one hop?
One hop this time.
yes, but I think that should be a roll.
Yeah, I want to roll it, but yeah. This is, I'm not going back into the hallways of the building. I'm just out of the wall.
You're just outie, gonna... yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to roll. How many minuses do I want on this one?
So many.
I think, again, maybe a plus one on this.
Okay, here goes. Hoping for the best.
The spell is, like, okay, but it's now kind of trying to get to the right place from a place that you haven't seen, necessarily.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It's a 12.
That's a mixed success.
It's a success. I know where I'm going. I just... I'm guessing slightly. The accuracy is slightly lower than previous.
Yeah. So, I think you do... You do appear outside, because it's a mixed success. So, you appear outside. You kind of lose your footing, and you stumble, because there are, like, little, like, rolling hills just outside, you know, part of the garden architecture landscaping part. You kind of appear in one of like the garden bits, not the bit like a path bit. So like you're on a little bit of a slope, you kind of like half stumble, and as you kind of like right yourself and pick yourself up and you start to move away, you glance kind of like behind you to the building, and that very very buff scary elf woman handler is like standing at one of the windows watching you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will probably come back to bite me in the ass. But oh well, I'm gonna walk away.
Yeah, you just keep walking.
I'll give her a little wave.
She doesn't make any move. She doesn't seem to make any move to stop you, but she just watches as you walk away.
Yeah, she saw me already. I may as well wave. What's the problem?
Yeah, cool.
Just so she knows I saw her.
Okay, good. Nat.
So this pocket of stone I'm in. I'm going to first.
Mm-hmm.
I will summon not anything fiery, but I will summon the fey light things, which not fire, just give out light. So it's not like it's a part of a cave. There's no easy exit.
Yeah, no, it's like a bubble in the rock that you've managed to pop into.
Yep. I guess. I test to see how quickly I can move rock with my earth bending.
God bless.
Well, you start to mold the stone, and it is stone, so it does mold. However, as you start molding it, you realize you're pretty sure you're standing upright, but you have no idea which way is what. So you have no idea, where this stone is going to end,
damn.
Or if you're going to be going deeper into the wall, or...
Without an external stimulus, I can't use my keen mind to know which way is north.
Let's go up.
Up is certainly valid. I'm just gonna... Can I do...
It's better than down.
I tunnel.
This is bad. This is really bad.
Goodbye, Nat.
Oh my god, this is the Magnus Archives. I don't like
it. Oh no, I hated that episode of the Magnus Archives. That was like,
it's very
I was like, oh no, the thing I don't like.
What I'm going to do.
The worst.
I am going to look at my necklace. The necklace which I used loads ever since you made it for me right at the start.
Yeah, I remember this necklace.
And I'm going to use my Make Up a Spell feature with the necklace.
Okay, yes, which you did have.
Try and determine the quickest route out of here. Whether this will work or not, I guess we'll find out.